It's always a pleasure and an honor to get to come to Fletcher and present God's Word. I love coming here. Scripture tonight will be found in the book of Mark, chapter number 4. And when you find your place, if you would please stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy Word. I'm thankful, and I never take lightly the opportunity to get to preach. Thankful for it. And the Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter number 4, reading in verse number 35, it says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." And in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5, verse number 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I want to preach on this thought tonight. He careth for you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you, God, for the opportunity, God, to get to come and present your word one more time, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've showed up here tonight, God, and we felt your sweet Holy Spirit amongst us tonight, God. Lord, I pray, God, that this message, God, Lord, would that you'd help us, God, to preach, God, tonight. Lord, that you'd help our words, God, to flow fluently, God. Lord, they wouldn't be of ourselves, God, but they'd be of you, God. Lord, I pray tonight for your people that's listening tonight, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would open their hearts and open their minds and open their ears, God, that they'd be receptive unto your word. God, they wouldn't just be hearers of the word, God, but they'd be doers of the word. God, we pray, Lord, for those that's watching online, God. Lord, those that couldn't make it here tonight, God, Lord, we pray, God, that you would meet their need, God, where they stand, God. And Lord, we'll give you praise and honor and glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we see, first, there's a setting. We see that the disciples and Jesus, they have entered into a boat to go to the other side. We see, Mark tells us that there are other little ships. It's the only gospel to say that there was other little ships with them. We do not know who was in these little ships, but we do know that the disciples were with Jesus in one ship. We also see that Jesus, leading up to this point where he got on the boat, was preaching the parable of the sower. We know that Jesus went into the boat and he fell asleep. We know that this shows the human nature of Jesus, that once he preached, he was tired. We can see Jesus's humanity. We know that Jesus is 100% man, and that he's also 100% God. I think about the song that it says that he was so much man that he slept in a boat. Yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. I get to thinking how it also says that Jesus says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Jesus is trying to get from one side to the others, and the disciples are going with him. And so we see, secondly, that there's a situation. We see that there has been a storm rise up against this ship, all the ships, even the little ships. The storm has rose up against these waves. They beat into the ship so that it was now full. We see that the disciples are in jeopardy, is what the book of Luke says. The book of Matthew, the book of Mark, and the book of Luke all record this story here in the Bible, this true story here in the Bible. We see that the book of Luke says that they were in jeopardy. The book of Matthew says that the ship was covered with waves. And here in the book of Mark that we read in your hearing, it says, "so that it was now full." So we see that these disciples and Jesus, they are in trouble. They are in a storm that is casting their boat side to side. They're in a storm where everything is starting to sink. The water is getting in the boat and they're starting to sink and they're starting to get frightened and they're starting to get scared. I get to thinking about how these disciples, They were once fishermen. Jesus has now turned them into disciples, and they're now fishermen of men. But we do know that walking up in their life, they were fishermen. And so we can imagine that they have been through many other storms before. But yet there's no storm like the storm that they are now encountering. There is no doubt that they probably tried to do everything in their power that they could do to get their ship to not retain this water. They probably had many different methods of how they would go about it because they're seasoned veterans here in the storm. And so many of us tonight here in this church, here online, we are veterans in some storms. There are some storms that we've been through in our lives. Now, I know I'm just 23 years old, and I may not have been through as many storms as some of you might have been, but we can all say that we've come through some storms in our lives. And so there's been some storms here and there, but yet this is one storm that is different. This is one storm that they're more scared of than any other storm that they've been through. We know that these disciples, it says that they ran to Jesus. I get to thinking about this little story. There was a 5-year-old boy, and his mama was in the kitchen cooking, and he was around her, and she hollered at him, and she said, go reach into the pantry and get out the can of tomato soup. And he said, well, Mama, I can't do that. He said, I'm scared. He said, it's dark in there, and I can't see, and I'm scared of the dark. And she said, honey, it'll be all right. You know, Jesus is with you. And he said, you know, that's true. Jesus is with me. So he went and he opened up the pantry door nice and slow. He peeked in there and he was looking around, trying to look in there. And he looked and he was like, no, it's too scary. And he turned around and started to walk away when an idea popped in his head. And he said, he turned around and he looked back in the pantry and he said, Jesus, if you're in there, will you hand me that can of tomato soup? We know that Jesus is with us always. And so these disciples have ran to Jesus. They have realized that they need Jesus in this time. The book of Mark, chapter number 4, verse 38, it says, they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In Matthew 8:25, it says, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. The book of Luke, chapter number 8, verse 24 says, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. In other words, they're coming to him. They're saying, Jesus, how are you asleep right now in the middle of this storm? Can't you see that we're going down? Can't you see all of our issues? Can't you see that we are dying here? Lord, we perish. Jesus, help us in this storm. Jesus, help us in this crisis. And so many of us, we have storms that come up in our lives, and we come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, can you help us in this trouble? Or we say, Jesus, how could we even get in this mess? Jesus, where were you? Jesus, how could this happen to me? Does that sound familiar? Have you ever been there to that point? Many of us have been to that point. We get that way in our lives. But the best thing that you can do is look to Jesus. These disciples have realized that they can't go any further on their own. You tonight have reached a point that you cannot go any further on your own. So you must look to Jesus. And that's what the disciples did. They looked around and they didn't see Jesus up there helping them scoop out water to get the water out of the boat. Can't you see them as they're shoveling water out of the boat with buckets, just throwing it to and fro. And then they look around. They're like, where's Jesus? Why ain't Jesus helping us? And so they go down into the bottom of the ship and they wake him up and they say, Master, how are you even asleep right now? I'll tell you how Jesus is asleep right now. Because Jesus was not scared of the storm. Because Jesus doesn't get scared of the storm. I see thirdly, the Savior. The book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 39, it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The book of Matthew, chapter number 8, verse 26 says, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The book of Luke, chapter number 8, verse 24 records, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. You see, this is a good example right here that Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control of everything. No matter what you're going through, you can look to Jesus because he is in control. We see that these disciples, they are so worried about this storm that they question Jesus. They said, Master, cares now not that we perish. I think about somebody else that might have questioned Jesus. Think about John the Baptist when he was thrown in prison and he sent his disciples to Jesus and he said, Jesus, are you really the Messiah or do we look for another? John the Baptist questioned Jesus. And Jesus told the disciples, he said, go back and tell John about all that we've done here. Tell him about how we've healed the sick, how we've made the lame walk, and how we have cast out demons. And so he was able to tell John the Baptist. And I think about Mary and Martha when their brother died, how they came up and they questioned Jesus. We know that they sent for Jesus and then he did not come. For 4 days, Jesus did not come. And we see when Jesus does come, Martha comes to him and she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother Lazarus, he wouldn't have died. And then we see that he calls for Mary to come and Mary says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. And then we see that Jesus is taken to the tomb of Lazarus and he gets up to the tomb. And he says, take away the stone. And Martha says, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And then we see that Jesus, he called out, Lazarus, come forth. And we see that Lazarus came back to life. This is a great example of the compassion that Jesus has for each and every one of us. And we see that in this passage of Mary and Martha, that Jesus wept. We see that Jesus, his humanity, he wept for Lazarus. He saw the sorrow that Mary and Martha, he saw the sorrow of his friends. And tonight you can cast your care upon Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says that he careth for you. In your worst and darkest days of your life, Jesus cares for you. When nobody else may care for you, not even your family, might even care for you. You can count on one person, one man, one named Jesus that'll care for you. We see that he will bear your burdens. You can try to bear your burden on your own. You can try to go through a storm all on your own. But Jesus is there for you. And he's willing to take your load. Bring your burden to Jesus. In your storm, in your crisis, cry out for Jesus. He wants to help you. Bring it to Jesus. Nail it to the cross. Bring it to Jesus' feet and he will be there for you. You don't have to go through a storm all by yourself. You can count on Jesus to be there with you. A lot of times we come to the altar and we'll bring our burdens to God. We'll come to Jesus and we'll say, Lord, I'm in this great storm. Lord, I'm leaving it here for you. Lord, this is my burden and I'm leaving it here for you. And we'll come to the altar and we'll pray that prayer that Jesus, I'm going to leave it here for you. And then we'll just cast it here at Jesus' feet. And then a lot of times, as we're getting back up to go to our pew, we start carrying that storm back with us. We start carrying that burden back with us. We start carrying that load around with us wherever we're going. And we don't really truly give it to Jesus. And Jesus wants to take it. He wants you. He wants to carry your burdens for you. But you will not let him have it. I think about my best friend, Brother Justin Bates, Preacher Justin Bates. He said it this way. He said, you know, a lot of times a Christian, they'll come to the altar and they'll treat it like they're at the airport. They'll treat it like they're going to put their bag and get on the airplane and they'll come back to the baggage claim and they'll take their burden right back with them instead of giving it to God. One of the greatest examples of Jesus' compassion, of that Jesus wants to carry your load for you, is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting lasting life. You can count on Jesus because he cares for you and because he died for you. Today was graduation Sunday at my church, and I couldn't be there today. And I was working, and I tuned in online, and I watched the graduation ceremony there at the end of service. And I saw Dad called my name, and he said, "I'm going to stand in his place." And, you know, I really got to thinking about that, and I really let that kind of set in my heart about how Dad stood in my place. But I think even deeper about how Jesus, when I was lost in sin, when I was supposed to be on the cross, when I was supposed to die and go to hell, that Jesus decided to bear my burden and that he would stand in my place, that he would take the old rugged cross so that I might have the opportunity one night on August 3rd, 2010 at the Lackey Town Baptist Church in Old Fort, North Carolina to call upon Jesus's name to save me from a devil's hell, from a place that I was supposed to go. And tonight, Jesus has stood in your place, and he stood in your place, your place, in your place, and he took the burden up to Calvary in your place so that you might not have to die and go alone into a devil's hell, so that you might have the opportunity to go into heaven. They were singing just a little while ago about how beautiful heaven's going to be, and I let that run all over me while I was sitting there. I was honestly ready for y'all to quit singing because I was ready to jump up and go. I was thinking how beautiful heaven's going to be because Jesus died for me and because I accepted the free gift that Jesus freely gives. It's not a gift that you have to do some sort of work to get. It's a gift that Jesus gave for all of us. He died for us, and he's willing to take each and every one of our burdens because he loves us. He loves you, and he loves me, and he loves everyone. Thinking about how it's not that the Bible says that it's a whosoever will. It's not a just Roy will. It's not just a Luke will, but it's whosoever. So it's for everybody. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a female. It does not matter what country you live in. It doesn't matter what language you speak. Jesus died for each and every single person just the same. And he loves each and every one just the same. I tell you tonight, if God be for you, who would be against you? You can trust Jesus. You can lay your burdens at his feet because he loves you and he cares for you. The greatest show of care ever performed is that Jesus would lay down his life for each and every one of us. You could stand to your feet, Pastor, if you'd come.
Please come to the organ, piano, play. Altars open. Thank you, Luke, sharing that gospel. Jesus cares. He cared before we were ever born. He saw us here. We were born, no matter who your parents were, good parents, of course, still lost and undone. He cared enough to go to the cross, stand, as Luke said, in my place, so we didn't have to go. Altars open. Whosoever will may come. And if you've never surrendered your life and asked him to save you, that's you. As they play, and as we pray, we're going to ask you to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If he gigs your heart, tells you, shows you your life's undone. While he was preaching, if the thought occurred to you, if he were to come, would I go? ? You can make sure of that. Say, Lord, save me. He cares. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your precious word, for the worship service we have had tonight, been able to worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, that you were willing to send your son, knowing what was going to take place. You arranged it. And I pray, Heavenly Father God, that anyone here does not know that they know that they know that they have passed from death unto life. So make it sure and steadfast in that, because the blood can be applied. That's why you died. And Lord, I thank you for your precious word. Thank you for Luke. Thank you for everyone that came, for all you're doing. Oh God, I pray for our nation, sin-sick nation that we are. Pray for peace in Jerusalem, for those families bereaved, that's hurting, to have fear, to have turmoil, that are going through a storm, not knowing when the next storm will occur, but in fear that it will come. But we can look to you and know that you care. You're standing there, Father, just as the disciples woke him up according to your will. He stands ready to hear, to be the attention. He has never refused anyone, but he completely conquered the storm that day because he was in control. He's still in control of my storms and your storms. So help us, Father, to bring it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.